Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? Ew, seriously. They squeeze the grease out of the wool and process it with chemicals, and then you eat it. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I got rid of products I didn't want anywhere near my body. I found that many multivitamins contain high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and even lacked some of the nutrients we actually needed. So what did I do? At 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. Ritual's products are made traceable, meaning we share the science and sourcing for every single ingredient. For example, our vegan vitamin D3 comes from sustainably harvested lichen in Nottingham, England, not sheep. We trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. See for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In the game today, we got to do what we do. If you're a rebounder, rebound. If you're a defender, defend. If you're a scorer, score. You know who you are. Let's don't get outside of what we do and what we've done all year in your role. All right? That's the most important thing. Now, whatever we do, again, stay disciplined. Stay disciplined. Things get erratic, get crazy out there. Stay disciplined. Stay together. Stay together, and we win this game.
To the Brooklyn Nets or the Toronto Raptors will win a Game 7 for the first time in franchise history as we put a cap, really an exclamation point, on an extraordinary start to these NBA playoffs. With two Game 7s here this afternoon. Awesome scene outside. Inside, though, focus from Dwayne Casey, the coach of the Raptors, to his players. 8.8 remaining. Livingston to look to trigger again. Still looking, still looking. Ross got a hand on it. Ross got it. Threw it off of Pierce. It's Raptors ball. The Toronto Raptors have never won a 7-game series. And now they have a chance. 1 point, one possession, 6.2 to go. Lowry, Ross on the floor.
You have one of your best passers out of bounds, Vasquez.
With DeRozan, they have a timeout to use. Vasquez looking, still looking. Gets it to Lowry at 5 seconds. Lowry, Williams a tight defense. Here is Lowry on the deck, through two. Lowry put it up, it's blocked by Pierce, and the Nets win the series.
They're a grinded out team. They have so many fourth quarter comebacks. I just think we have to do a better job defending. They dug their heads, got to the basket, got some calls. Some calls didn't go our way, but that's the way the playoffs are. And we knew we was going to get their best. And it's a great, great series. I'm glad to be a part of it. But look, we said we're going to win this with our defense. Lowry, we knew he was going to try to get to the hole. It was a scrum for the ball. I saw him go up. I went up with a block. Clean block at the end. I mean, it was a great playoff series. These guys, they're going to be tough to beat in the near future.
It means a lot. You know, it shows our improvement throughout the year. You know, a lot of people didn't expect us to be here, but we did. And we're only going to get better. You know, this is only a start for us, and this was a start for, you know, the Raptors organization. And, you know, it was a good start for us. But, you know, unfortunately, we came up short. We're in a game we put ourselves in a position to win.
It is Sportsfeld Storytime. We look back every month at some of the best and ultimately, obviously, some of the worst of our sports fandom lives. This year, this month of October, we are looking back at the first playoff foray for the Kyle Lowry Raptors. It's the 2014 Toronto Raptors playoff run, crystallized perfectly in Game 7 against the Brooklyn Nets. To get us to this point, we have had the Rudy Gay trade shake the foundation of the franchise and turn things upside down, getting a bunch of spare parts for Rudy Gay, including Grievous Vasquez and Patrick Patterson and John Salmons and even Chuck Hayes. Sure, we'll say Chuck Hayes too. That turned the season around, gave the Raptors the Atlantic Division crown that nobody saw coming. Probably could have got pretty good money on it if you had bet on it. And then we got the big boss man, Masai Ujiri, delivering his Fuck Brooklyn press conference. Not a press conference, his crowd speech in Jurassic Park before game one. We had a back and forth series where every time it looked like one team had the advantage, the other team would swoop in and steal it from him, and including every single third quarter from Dwayne Casey. And what else we've had is a lot of points scored by DeMar DeRozan. So that sets the scene. A noon start for a Game 7 Raptors versus Nets. Oh, 1 p.m. start, but your pregame would start at noon. This, I think, was at the time, it's funny to look back at it and go, you know, not really grand scheme, not that big of a deal. At the time, Game 7 against Pierce and Garnett felt like a huge deal.
Yeah, I kind of said in our first episode of this story time how, like, there hadn't for a Toronto sports fan, there hadn't really been anything to be excited about for so long. Like, I'm pretty sure this was the most excited I was for a sporting event other than, I guess, the 2010 gold medal game, and this probably trumped that because it was obviously Toronto over, like, Olympic hockey. Not to diminish the 2010 game, but this was, like, the last time anything of this magnitude happened in sports in Toronto was Vince and the Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe, I guess, Leafs and Sens. But even that was 10 years prior. Like, there had been nothing. I guess Leafs in Boston the year before, but that ended miserably anyway. So there had been one miserable experience in a decade to get excited about. And so this was huge. I remember being, and it was like a noon start, which sucked, especially for a game seven, but it was like a Sunday, I want to say. But it was just, I was so excited for this game. And this is one of the first adult experiences, I guess, of just like clinging to a bar table for dear life, watching a game in stress.
May 4th, 2014 was indeed a Sunday. To your point, we sort of talked in a previous episode about how we maybe take advantage that the last half of the last decade saw almost every team in the city have some measure of success, whether it be becoming a consistent playoff team, winning a title, making the ALCS, winning a title for TFC. That was all preceded with years and years and years of absolute nothingness. This 2014 Game 7, to your point, was the first real team that felt like it had a chance and team that made you, at least you felt good watching them, and you could feel good about the strides they had made. That least team that disappointed us and broke our hearts and ended so miserably, that team, it felt like we were getting away with something. I think we all knew that they weren't really a good team. The Raptors had done just enough over the course of this series to make me believe that they maybe actually were going to be the better team, that maybe they were deep enough. Maybe that the fact that the Nets guys were all tailing their prime and the Raptors had the depth, the trade for Rudy Gay allowed them to go 8-9 guys deep and match them player for player, which does sort of matter early in the playoffs. It matters less as the playoffs go on. But the Raptors come out cold a little bit out of the gate, but they do manage after the first quarter to be leading 28-26, which is sort of crazy. You expect in these sort of game sevens for the experienced team to have the edge and for it to be, deer in headlights, especially when you factor in all that we are told, the stories that everyone tells us about DeMar and Kyle, but they play fairly competently. It is Brooklyn getting it back in the second quarter. They outscore 35-25 in the second. Amir Johnson, 18 points in the first half, along with a little bit of foul trouble, but 18 points from Amir Johnson. Talk about forgotten performances. Who remembers Amir Johnson having 20 and 10 in a game seven?
He was like, we'll get into this in a minute, but like he was the best player on the floor for the 22 minutes he played. And he's like him fouling out is the big what if of this game. Like obviously there's, if Lowry has a better final possession, that's a big question. But Amir fouling out for me is like, if he plays the final 8 minutes of this game, I think the Raptors probably win.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Some classic Raptors killers on display on the other end. It's Joe Johnson, who my entire 20s, was spent with watching Joe Johnson torch the Raptors. They never got a wing guy that could slow down Joe Johnson. Joe Johnson can come out of retirement right now, and I feel like he would torch OG somehow. It's just like, that's...
It's true. It doesn't matter. He was, whether it was the Hawks, whether it was the Nets, he killed us every time.
Has deflected by Johnson. He's got it as he raced DeRozan, and Pierce to the basket to finish. And a good job by Joe Johnson. Okay, two all-timers played that perfectly. Gets there and gets two. Joe Johnson. Inside, Joe Johnson again.
See, that's high IQ basketball.
Shot clock at three. Johnson took DeRozan, got inside and scored again. The day he scored 20, his playoff career best. Joe Johnson, a dagger of a triple. He scored 9 in a row, and the lead is 10.
Well, Joe has kind of owned this Toronto defense throughout this entire series.
Oh, 11 in a row for Joe Johnson, carrying this team in the fourth quarter.
And I like the strategy by the coaching staff. Until you stop this, they're going to stay with it.
And then a classic, the Raptors also classic at this, is the guy that you never expect that they absolutely can't contain this time. And it's Marcus Thornton, 14 points in the first half. Very much setting the stage here. Gerald Henderson All-Star, as Will Liu would put it, as the guy out of nowhere to kill the Raptors. The Nets, 27 bench points in this game. All that depth I was talking about, forget about it. They could not stop. Man, you remember me. You remind me of things like Andre Blatch had games in this series where I was just like, I hate watching Andre Blatch, and he would do it again. I believe he was back the next year with the Wizards.
Yes, and Casey's adjustments in this game were like, all right, let's put old Chuck Hayes out to try and slow him down. And like, respect to Chuck Hayes, because I love Chuck Hayes, but like, I don't want to see Chuck Hayes in a game seven.
You know, the Nets take a sizable lead into the half, 61-53 at the half. Raptors down 8. Not what you want, especially knowing that the third quarter has been traditionally real trouble. More the same in the third. The Nets sitting comfortably with a 10-ish point lead most of the way. Fluctuates between 8 and 12. And they lead 81-73 through 3. Could have been a lot worse. But DeMar DeRozan hits a ridiculous fadeaway 3 from the corner to end the third. it's a miracle, but it looks like it's not going to be enough. The fourth quarter continues, like 8.5 minutes left. Nets are up 11. So you're thinking, just not going to have enough, basically, is how it felt for most of this game.
Yeah, it was just, I remember, this was a weird watching experience for me too, because it was noon on a Sunday, we went to Dog's Box, because that was our playoff bar for the year, and it was like half full, because it was noon on a Sunday, which actually was great, because it gave lots of pacing room, and it was kind of a cool watching experience. I was with my friend David, and it was kind of like the bar and the waiters and the bartenders just kind of let everyone do their thing. And everyone was just kind of going between tables, even though nobody knew each other, and just like kind of wandering around the bar, stressed out. And then around this time is that time in a Raptors playoff game where everyone's just kind of sitting down quietly and just like waiting for the end.
And it looks like the end comes with about 8 minutes left. Amir Johnson falls on top of Joe Johnson trying to get a rebound. He fouls out with just under 8 minutes left. He has 20 and 10 in 22 minutes. Unbelievable, Amir Johnson. It looks like, to me that at that point, I'm like, okay, he was the only good thing going. Him fouling out, I think this game is probably over. Joe Johnson continuing to go off. He scores 11 straight. The Nets up 10. With 5 minutes to go. That is, you would expect a death knell.
I had actually forgotten how quickly the Raptors came back in this one. Like, obviously I remember the ending of this game very well, but I had in my brain that it was just like a tightly fought game the whole way. Like, I didn't remember the fact this was actually almost one of the crazier comebacks in playoff history.
It is sort of telling, with all the things that we've said, like, it is almost as if this playoff run doesn't count in the way people talk about the Raptors, because there's nothing really, like, Lowry is there when they really need him. DeMar has plenty of really good scoring games. Like, it really doesn't fit with what we were told about this era of playoff Raptors basketball.
It's kind of like we've Mandela affected it into our brains that, like, this year was that also.
Yeah, because obviously the next year they get embarrassed, they get swept by the Wizards. But this is not that year. Like, it's a very different season. And I think I also sort of fell victim to that. I felt like going into my rewatch, similar to you, I think I remember I expected it to be like a collapse and you're embarrassed. But they really, like, scratch and claw, come back within 10. They're down 9 with 3:45 left when DeMar gets teed up. Then Kyle single-handedly drags them back within 5. Joe Johnson, of course. You, Joe Johnson refusing to make it happen, puts them up 7 with 2 minutes left. Down 7 with 2 minutes. Like, unbelievable. Lowry takes over again, down 4. Gets guarded by KG. It's a weird foul, but very fun, especially when you consider the fact that KG beefing with Drake. Imagine this, Drake on the sidelines stealing some of the show when Lowry hits 2 free throws.
Yeah, this was the first Drake is too much on the sideline year. Like, he and KG were jawing at each other the whole season. And I remember, it's a really weird, like, Lowry just kind of runs into Garnett at the top of the three-point line and goes down, and it's a foul. And then the crowd's going crazy. This was also like a top 5, top 10 Raptors crowd. At this one.
Yeah, we were hungry for it.
The 2014 Raptors crowds were crazy.
To your point, the crowd helps split a pair of free throws from Deron Williams. It gives the Nets lead is only 3 with 22.5 seconds left. Kyle always controls the clock so well, gets right in, hits a layup, 16 seconds left. They trade back the other way, 2 free throws. And then I can't believe this. Honestly, you could see the game script. I can't believe this. In the situation they are in, down 3, they give the ball to Terrence Ross ISO, and he gets it done. Terrence Ross like goes right at Paul Pierce, which is the play. You know that's the isolate Paul Pierce on defense is the play. He gets a layup, 104-103 with 8.7 seconds left. And then it's Terrence Ross again with the defensive play of the season.
8.8 remaining. Livingston to look to trigger again. Still looking, still looking. Ross got a hand on it. Ross got it. Threw it off of Pierce. It's Raptors ball. And they can advance it with 6.2 to go. And they have a chance to win the series. Unbelievable.
Just watch the pressure on the ball. And then this is just an outstanding defensive play by Rush. You can see not only does he get it, but then while in the air, off of Pierce's leg out of bounds.
Like Terrence Ross back to back. How do you even say it?
What a play. What a play by Ross.
That steal, it sounds weird to say about an inbound steal. And it's not even really a steal. He tips the ball and throws it off Pierce as he's falling out of bounds. But, like, that was the... Before, like... I don't know, before Kawhi against the Sixers, that was, like, the biggest, like, one Raptors play.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least the one that I went craziest for. Like, when he gets that inbound steal and it's Raptors ball with 6 seconds left, like, this half-full bar I was in was going mental. And it was also like, it was like, oh, we're gonna win.
Yeah,
like it felt like they were collapsing, we were gonna win. There's also a great video, if you they didn't do it after this year, it always made me mad, but in 2014 on the Raptors YouTube channel they had like an overlay of Jurassic Park.
Oh, cool.
As the like to synced up to what was happening so you could see both at the same time rather than cutting away. The video of this steal and Jurassic Park is amazing.
Unfortunately. This next, the last play is, it's not great to watch. It's, I think I remembered this differently than how it went down.
Same, actually.
Vasquez looking, still looking. Gets it to Lowry at 5 seconds. Lowry, Williams, the tight defense. Here is Lowry on the deck, through two. Lowry put it up. It's blocked by Pierce, and the Nets win the series. As Paul Pierce, waiting in front of the rim, denies the shot and sends Brooklyn to the second round.
I don't remember it being so out of control. Lowry tries to dribble through basically everyone, basically goes 1-on-5, bumps into like a teammate on the way up, basically almost has it stolen from him by himself. And then walks right into Paul Pierce, who swats it away. Just a really disappointing way. A really deflating, like the air going out of the balloon after all they had done to claw back, after the miracle of T-Ross on both ends in the last 10 seconds. Really hard way to watch this game end.
Yeah, I remember watching replays of this one after it ended and just like seeing Patrick Patterson pretty open.
Anyway, it falls short, and he is blocked, and he lays in the ground, and it is iconic imagery for what would be the future of the Toronto Raptors. A heartbreaking finish to the 2014 Raptors season, but ultimately optimism. We will get into sort of what this season does for where the team ends up and how it ends up in a championship in the next episode of Sports Felt Storytime.